Oh, I see what you're talking about.
I enjoyed it too.
Remember, his mum said if you're going to do it properly.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as always, what a week that was. I mean, I was like, okay, before I get into it, I'll just do the basic standard introductions. My name's Needles. How are you all? This is Never Surrender by the Squinners. We're the only Giants fan podcast. We're the best Giants fan podcast for the entire AFL. I am joined this very, it's warming, I'd say. Warming, even in Canberra, warming Monday evening by Ragnar, the Viking Lofbrok, the Viking Bard Lofbrok. G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm bloody amazing. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm ready. Are you ready to party?
Oh, we've got so much to discuss. We have so much to talk about.
There's a fair. It's an issues-rich environment, as we say in the public service. And Sparrow, how are you, mate? You good?
Fabulous, mate.
Twitter's admin, which I like. That's a good title.
Fabulous. Oh, that's not new. That's been there a while. Yep. No, fabulous, mate. Off the back of that glorious Saturday evening.
Yeah, well, I was actually – well, let me talk about what I wanted to talk about first, because I'll just give you my take, because obviously, you know, it's tough for me to watch. But, like, I think they started well early. I would even say to a degree that they jumped us. But we kind of began halfway through the first quarter. We really began to wrestle it back on – like, we got our game on and we're on top. I even got a kick, which was actually really, really good. And I kicked it to my mate, Ganeen Machine, who is actually, he's my under-18s cricket buddy, and he's playing with me. And he's a relative of Dirt Wang Ganeen. And that was really good. And obviously all I did was I just kicked it to my mate, Kizza, who I played under-14s Wildcats with. And he handballed to his mate, Phil, who I also played under-14s Wildcats with. And then Nilo, who's a jet, he began to really
And Uncle,
who is, he plays rugby but does Aussie rules for fun.
Okay.
And he's a fucking freak, got sick of it, and you just know, said, I'm sick of it now, and then he turned it on. And so we won the ACT Masters Grand Final for the second year in a row. Hey, two in a row, boys, the Wildcats.
That's
so
what
I didn't put that at the start of the run sheet.
That's what the audience wants to hear.
I even got a kick.
No.
Everyone's retired from the Giants except, I think, Toby Green, as far as I can tell. It's been we lost a few boys this week. Do anyone have nice thing to say about Phil Davis or Daniel the Kalani Vale Bomber Lloyd?
There's plenty of nice things you could say about both of those fine young men. Filthy, obviously a huge part of our DNA, a huge part of making the club what it is today. Him and Cal leading the young team from the early days.
He will go down in his history as referring to Stormy Daniels as Stormy Daniels in a live interview on Channel 7.
That was
after he kicked the goal against Brisbane.
Yep.
And I mean, there it is. That was
forever
the closest the Giants have ever got to going mainstream.
Forever.
We were dancing on the edge of the black hole of fame.
Yeah, he's been a wonderful servant for the club, Phil.
Yep.
And obviously Lloydie, always love watching Lloydie. Great boot on him. And brings that non-assuming working class sort of Cal Ward mold.
Role player.
Yep.
Like everyone talked about the Giants not having role players. He was the definitive role player. Yep. And ironically, this year has had he's played the most games.
Yeah, yes. And there's a bit of concern from the community, the squinting community online. Have we lost the last of our ink? Obviously, we lost Bobby Hill. We lost Dorsal a couple of years ago. We've lost all fine specimens displaying good ink. And there's someone else we lost recently that comes to mind. Anyway, Lloydie had a good display of it on his arm. And have we got any players left with some good tats?
I assume that Mummy's boy is like, his whole chest is just like, and the whole that you can't see. It's just ripply abs and an angry skull or something like that. Or he's got wings on the back of his chest.
Mate, I think it's the big Superman logo.
Mate, he still lives with his parents. I don't think he's got ink, Bredzy.
He still lives with his parents.
Pretty sure in Penn Hills.
Yeah, that's an insight. I wonder if anyone knows that. And sorry, where does he live? What was his address? Because you've obviously found it out in the story.
Penn Hills.
Now, how often do you drive past?
I remember his debut video. And, well, he did live in them back then. That was a couple of years ago, so he might have moved on. He might have moved on.
Hey, before we float too far off track, can I just bring this back to Phil Davis and Daniel Lloyd? They both had fantastic resignation speeches to the players and staff. I don't know if you guys watched Phil's today.
Yep. Awesome.
I mean, Vikings don't tend to cry or shed tears. But yeah, he certainly moved a certain Viking today and spoke brilliantly, as well as Dave Matthews and Cal Ward's little piece at the end. And I mean, Phil's sort of, he's been there from the start, pretty well the lifeblood of the club since inception. And it's disappointing he couldn't get a game this year, but his body let him down. But yeah, he's one of those players that really put his heart and soul into everything Giants, and fantastic servant of the club and life member. Not a bad word could be said about the man.
Yeah.
If 192 games, if not for Phil Davis, and same as Callum Ward, but Phil Davis came along. He'd already, he was a young dude.
Yeah.
If not for him, no Giants. And what? Yeah. During that bit, sort of from 2015 through 2019, and actually he got injured. He was injured going to the grand final, but he was an outstanding fullback.
Yeah, premier backman.
For a man who couldn't, whose legs couldn't bend, he was extraordinary.
As per his own admission, terrible at the 2K. did not meet the metrics that the strength and conditioning coaches were really hoping for. But no, awesome. As you said, servant of the club, had the number over Buddy on countless occasions.
Yeah.
And really just set us up so bloody well with Cal and
him and
Luke Bauer before that. Yeah, Nick Haynes and him were just like the modern day combo we got in Bucks and the Octopus, but they were incredible. And just in terms of two leaders that you could have asked for, sort of a better start for our club. You know, Cal, they're just such different men too. That feels very articulate and outspoken. Cal's very, he hates public speaking, but he just leads from what he does. And they were just the perfect combo, good age. And Rags, that talk of Dave Matthews after Phil's speech and Cal, I thought that was awesome. And Cal, he couldn't look at him. He was just too emotional.
In bits. It was rubble.
Yeah. So, really well done by the club. And Lloydie too, he had a good speech as well.
I'm not too worried about Phil Davis.
Can I just say, Phil, I know you're listening. There will be a song coming for you, mate. So bear with us. Give me a week and I'll fix my audio issues. And it's coming, mate. I haven't quite worked out what song I'm going to do it to. Maybe you could flick me a message on Twitter and we'll discuss a few options. But let's go from there.
He has earned a song. Completely class act. I don't have any. The future holds no fears, I think, for Phil Davis. He presents very, very well. He's good on the punditry. He's a good man. He's very articulate. He wears a man bun or the long hair.
Top knot.
And he, once he saw us do our podcast and started getting into it as well, you can tell that he's learned a bit. And I think he'll be fine. And hopefully Daniel Lloyd, I presume he'll be fine as well. He's going to go on a different path. But bravo and thank you both.
I had a quick question about Phil. Do we see him going straight into media or coaching? Or he did mention in his speech that he's quite into business side of things. So thoughts? What's he going to slide into?
My guess is he'll have media with he'll do business with media on the side. Like you'll come for an evening special comments at the SCG or the Beanstalk.
Or possibly the fourth member of the Squinters.
Well, they'll kick him out. He'll need somewhere to go.
That's pretty lofty expectations. But I think I've always wanted.
If you aim for the stars, you might catch the moon.
I've always wanted a Giants or ex-Giants player or some sort of associate in the media, and because we just don't get talked about enough, and media presence really does help us in a lot of ways, bring eyes onto the club, and would be fantastic for that.
It's always a big year for retirements. It's not like this week the retirements got any less when Cochin and Hardwick's come back. He's unretired, thankfully. He's with the Suns now, which no one saw coming except everyone. Cochin and Rewalt. The other Rewalt. The sort of slightly more relaxed, more successful Rewalt, who kicked all the goals. So what's that? 1,700 goals, give or take, and gone in a couple of weeks. They've gone as well. And Zeeble.
Zeeble's out. Yeah, he's gone.
Probably played and got a punch in the face by some fuck weird. But we're losing a few.
Fair squad of retirees. Yeah, fair squad. Next issue.
That'll make a decent Masters team. They might even push the Wildcats.
I know we want to keep talking about the Wildcats, but just to steer it back. Second issue.
Just a quick question.
Yeah.
Sparrow, how many grand finals did you win on the weekend? Yeah, you're welcome. I'll tell you, I had Giants jerky because it was at Manuka Oval at the Golden Egg. Oh, like you can be tackled on Manuka Oval. The grass is soft. Didn't even hurt a bit. And
what were your stats? I was thinking to myself,
God, my knee hardly hurts at all. But then I realized I've been taking very strong anti-knee pain medication all week. and now I've stopped taking it. My knee really hurts. But if you get to the Golden Egg and have the Giants jerky that comes in a little tin.
Amazing.
Nilo knows the bloke who makes it out at Bungendore. He makes it with Vegemite.
Is he looking to spread his the message about his good product on a podcast at all?
I should have mentioned it. Nilo, you said you listened to this week. So if that guy needs to, if there's a jerky who needs a sponsor, no, we're the jerks who need a sponsor from some jerky. Riccardi.
Yeah, three more years. Good signs. Obviously, good signs that they're all buying in, and plenty of faith in where Kingsley and the leaders are steering the club. So that was a really positive sign. I mean, we've had signing after signing after signing the last few weeks. So yeah, super positive. And obviously locking down that key forward. Sorry, Rags.
Can I just say?
You can claim it.
Ragnar's strike rate is probably is. I think I'm batting at 100% at the moment. Everyone I'm baking is re-signing.
Where were you when Jezza was looking at real estate in Western Sydney?
He was sending us a 4-page furious email that we didn't get time to read out, and that's what we lost.
He was trying to get rid of Tomo.
We just hope that Ricker, he has a good game or a bad game. Ricker doesn't have a game halfway through the middle, so hopefully he has one of his good games, all his good games in the finals. Because when he gets some confidence up and the wind in his sails, he's electric.
Mm.
But otherwise, he'll get less points than Keith.
I mean, that's fairly promising. We've got an unbelievable small forward brigade, which Coco has dubbed, wait for it, the Storm Surge. Off the back of Storm.
Not bad. Daniels.
Not it's bad.
Pretty good.
Actually, that might have been Bardos. I think that was Bardos.
The Storm Cell.
The Storm Cell and the Storm Surge. Coco and Bartman were sort of climbing
back. Yeah, that's good.
Not bad. But yeah, unbelievable small forwards and possibly the best forward in the game in Toby Green. Plus, then we got Hogs.
Possibly.
Yeah, Hogs, Rickers, Cadman, and Mullet.
Callum McCormack. Brown.
Callum Brown, Mullet, McCormack on his way. So
That's muffin. Pretty muffin.
Oh, and muffin. No. I'm talking about Mullet McCormack from the Academy.
McMuffin.
McMuffin and the Academy kid with the mullet. So that's pretty, not bad.
It's not even in our team yet, but.
No, so let's roll with it. As long as he's got that mullet, he's going to be spoken about.
Popcorns.
Say that again.
What?
Small storms are often called popcorns.
Popcorns?
Yeah. Popcorn convection.
Okay. That kind of works. It kind of works with the barbecue. Yeah. Anyway,
we have
promising signs with Rickers. And this was another one which I actually can't talk down the significance. Tony Shepherd has led our club from a board level since the start, and he has been a man of the people. You go out to the beanstalk and you'll see him.
Tony Shepherd is a rare individual. There are many sides to Tony Shepherd, some abrasive, but footballing wise, I'm on board.
He's awesome. I've run into him at the grand final parade, out of the beanstalk. He's just a man of the people, always, friendly, and obviously has made the key decision, has made big decisions and got them right, along with obviously Dave Matthews and the guys at the management level of the club. Because if you don't have it right at that top level, you got no chance. And we've seen that with the Suns, we've seen it with Carlton, we've seen it with the shit fight of other clubs, North Melbourne. We are so blessed to have the top of the tree absolutely rock solid. And maybe it's the bottom of the tree, the trunk, the foundation. Because if you don't have that right, you're buggered. So yeah, big kudos to Tony for all the work he's done. He loves the Giants, and I think he deserves all the recognition he gets.
Yeah. Try harder on the next commission audit, but otherwise, fair enough.
On the
well said, mate. Well said. And I tell you what, we've made a very strong start to our first quarter here. we are flying. I think we're on track for a big score. Speaking of which.
Oh, silky segue. so it was about 54-22. That's what we won. But oh no, shit. Yeah, no, the Giants. Well, that was. I mean, I went to a kick. I went for a kick with the big H. Sort of hands were freezing, and after the kick, and because obviously get away from the television as far as possible, because Essendon is serious. And I shiveringly pulled out the phone and prodded at the screen, and 45-6. 45-6. What, there must be for end of the first quarter. let's kick it a little bit more, then I'll come back. And I came back, and it was just after Jesse Hogan kicked his second goal. And it was a very, this is Needle's perfect footballing platform yesterday. That was fine. Although it wasn't until halfway through the third quarter I thought they could lose it. What if I might have to leave? They get any more than two goals, I'm gone. But they didn't.
That was nice little treat for you, Needles, just to round out the season almost, being able to watch that one. Well, being able to watch some of it, not locked in the bathroom. Bubs had a few. Bubs, what are your thoughts?
Orange Army sitting here after running the Bay Run in the heartland of Greater Western Sydney, here in Balmain, sitting with the glow of not only the Giants' domination, but watching or hearing about the Dogs lose. There's not much better. Yesterday, went out to the Beanstalk, driving out there 2 minutes into the game. I was a little bit late to the game, so I was driving down there. 2 minutes into the game, got a message from my old man down in Canberra, watching down in Canberra, said, geez, Jesse Hogan looks slow. 5 minutes later, I think Hogs kicked a goal, and then that was one of nine Tim Tams. When I got in there to the ground, it was around second quarter. Bombers were actually leaving the stadium as I was walking in, which was pretty impressive. Pretty good crowd, actually. It was always surprises me when I see all the little youngins in the Giants gear, and there was plenty of them yesterday, which was always great to see. Got to the captain's club, which is where I was sitting, which is where I've sort of become accustomed to over the years from a friend of mine who is a member, and I tend to tag along. Sat there and just watched the goal after goal, Briggsy ragdolling Draper, and then us just scoring goals around a bunch of witches' hats. It was pretty disappointing from the Bombers, or very disappointing actually, but it was great to see the Giants in full flight and the tsunami very much in full flight. On to next week now. Cannot wait to get through the week and watch Sunday night and watch us towel up the Blues. It's going to be great seeing Kerno and Mackay against our backline. Young, best defence in the league versus probably the best forwards in the league. So very much looking forward to that. I do think we'll win, and I think we'll roll into finals. I don't hold out too much hope for us in finals, but I think it's a great achievement for us as a team to get into finals when no one really expected it except us. So that's all from me. Let's chat next week.
God. And that's Bubs straight from the members' room, or was it the Giants' room? Where was he?
Oh, members' bar, members, yeah, something.
Unnamed. Yeah, all those wankers have got for it.
That's, yeah. That's,
I played football against Bubs' brother on the weekend as well. He was in the grand final. Lost, though. Kicked a great snap. Well done, Hank. Bad luck, mate.
Good insights from Bubs there. Always good to have some squinters on the ground, at the ground. Dr. Nangs, unfortunately, couldn't join us tonight. But Bubs, well, really appreciate those Dr. Nangs insights.
With his very, very Essendon supporting wife, whose mother thinks that James Heard is basically practically the Messiah. Like, they nailed him up at a cross, and James Heard did no wrong. And he died for Essendon sins. And they've been a member since, I don't know, Essendon was started in 1893. Very Essendon supporting family, left 2 minutes after into the third quarter. Oh, God. But he was all right because he's, you know, Dr. Nangs is partial to Brisbane. So he had a good weekend as well. He did say that they played. It was humming. Although there were some pretty shitty give ups. Like in the first quarter, I went and watched the replay. Like there was some, had you not been ahead, kicked by six goals, there were some pretty ordinary entries in the first sort of quarter and a half. We were getting lots and lots of inside 50s, but some of them were quite ordinary.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I think too many options. We were just sort of the movement was beautiful, and then yeah, like you said, come inside 50 in that first quarter, and it was possibly not the best option once it got there. But let's not dwell on any negatives, mate. When you're scoring 162 points at the Captain's Club, 162 points, mate. There's not too many negatives in that. I mean, where do you want to start with this? I mean, we've had a good update from obviously Bubs, but I absolutely loved what Bredzi did to Draper. I think in the first time we met Essendon, they obviously had Draper and old Sauce. Bin. Sauce. Andrew Phillips.
Phillips.
Used to play for us. Towed us up in the ruck against Onions. And that was when I initially said maybe we should think about the double combo. But we did not need it. Bredzi absolutely destroyed both of those boys. And he was grabbing it out of the ruck. He was booting it forward. He was exceptional. So that was one of many highlights for me, young Bredzi. Rags, do you want to bring up any of your special moments from the game?
Well, it was just so nice to watch a game and not be stressed at all. I was watching with a couple of mates, and they were like, "Oh, this is so boring." I'm like, "This is amazing. This is amazing."
The best.
Like Stormy Daniels' first quarter, I think he kicked two or three in the first quarter. Toby Green kicked two goals, had three goal assists, and they just put him on ice.
From 55 out.
How was it? We put him on ice like 2 minutes into the third quarter.
Yeah,
I love that.
In the words of
to watch.
What's the face? Who's the cat who plays Deadpool? Ryan, what's his face?
Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, the words of Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool tonight. I'm touching myself. That's what I want.
I mean. We won by 126 points, so we won by 21 goals. That's phenomenal. I don't remember a game we even kicked 21 goals under Leon Cameron, let alone win, but won by 21 goals. Yeah, special mention to Big Hoags, Big Jesse, up forward, 9 goals won, 24 touches, 17 marks.
Those marks are incredible.
4 tackles, and Tommy Green had a day out, 39 touches, just
was unreal.
1,000 clearances. But I think we had 13 goal kickers, including, so we had Jesse kick 9. We still had 13 goal kickers on top of that. So,
yeah.
Although, yeah, let's be clear, not including Connor Iden, who had a shot and missed. Like, that's the only mistake he's made all year. I would love to be Connor Iden. Like,
I think
he plays small, he beats the small, he beats the tall, he never makes a mistake. He's always calm and delivers it. He is so good.
Yet to kick an AFL goal, Connor Iden. So they were trying to get it to him.
But they were also trying to give it to Jesse as well.
Yeah, and young Muffin got his first goal, which was amazing. And did you spot the work that had gone into that mullet after talking up how good it was, that it was just a very casual, not a lot of work done, but quite a lot of work done. And he's heard that on the pod and he's gone out and said, I'll show these fucking squinters. I'm going to shave the sides. I'm going to shave the bloody sides of my mullet because I'm proud
of it. Make it pop.
Which he did.
Tom Green had more than, 23 or 24 possessions to half time?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's like, it's Greg Williams. I didn't see much of Greg Williams, but I always, like, you know, Diesel, he wasn't slow. He just kept going and he was always in the right spot and would use his superior skill and ball awareness. Tom Green's a bit like that. He just trundles to the spot and gets there and dishes it off and uses it well. Like, to be aware of the ball is all the time is unreal.
Yeah. And their midfield's not a bunch of nobodies. They've got
Parrish. Zach Merritt will make all Australian.
The guy that left our team that's supposed to be amazing.
Caldwell.
But never has been. Caldwell. Talk about hitting the straps at the right time. But then again, look what a week can do, you know. Like, we were abysmal in the clearances with our pressure in Adelaide against Port and then come back next week. I really feel sorry for Essendon because any time that we put in a performance like we did in Adelaide, we bounce back so hard. Like,
with a vengeance.
We have pride and we will not let games like that define us. So it was, they were on a hiding nothing, Essendon.
Did you see that bit where Toby came on, he just came off the bench and just stopped the ball going out,
through his legs,
between his legs and lit off down the touch down the sideline. And then
that was, like, ridiculous.
Fair enough.
How about the tsunami that led to Ash's goal? Did you see that?
Yeah, that was fantastic.
That was so slick.
So from
that was extraordinary.
Yeah.
From last week's game against Port to this week's game, we had 177 point turnaround. We lost by 51 against Port and we won by.
Is this Ragnar's maths?
That was Ragnar's math. Now I'm going to give you a little bake.
Oh.
You want a little bake?
Get it done. Get it in.
Who is it?
So. It's not to a person or a team even. It's to an establishment or an area even. So I went out to watch the game with some mates at in Hobart. We're like, okay, we're gonna go watch the game. The Giants play. I went out with a Swans supporter, so they wanted to watch the Swans after the Giants played. And we went out to perhaps the only sports bar in Hobart. There's one. There's one sports bar in Hobart.
Stop it.
They want to be an AFL town, and there is one sports bar in the whole of Hobart. And I come from South Australia, and I think 80% of the pubs in South Australia are sports bars by themselves. There's like 1,500 televisions plastered across the walls and like every single sport you can imagine. And I come down here and it's all wine bars and this sort of bullshit. Halfway through the Giants game, they turn every single TV onto the Matildas game, who are playing for third. And I was fuming. I had to sit at the table watching KO.
It sounds like
watching KO.
That's not
watching the Giants kick goal after goal on my phone, and I was fuming. Anyway, that's my little bit of a rant. Hobart, get your shit together. If you want to be considered an AFL town, start pulling your finger out, because that's just not acceptable.
That's not on.
Look, I used to work there. It's a mendicant state. It's a mendicant state. No one's got any time in Tasmania, and you know, the feeling's probably mutual. That said, have you been to the Boodle Beasley?
No.
Get it done. It's an awesome, awesome pub. Their range sports of beers bar. There is off the chain. It's not a sports bar.
Do they? Well, I'm not going.
But well, you just said there aren't any sports bars in Hobart. So let's just try and, you know, this is a great pub, but it's not a sports bar.
I'll only go there if they sponsor us.
Well, do they, I'll leave that with you.
Do they serve the Squinters dark ale? That's a
no, question. I had an amazing lactic sour, like a milk sour beer. It was a pint of the thing out the back and under this massive tree in their pub, in their beer garden. It was really, and their wings are fire.
Well, that's disappointing of Hobart. Disappointing of Hobart, but a bit like the Four Pines establishment in Newport. Very hard to get the AFL on the big screen, but when you've got to resort to KO, it's not much chop on your phone. So lift your game.
Yeah, not a massive surprise in Manly, is it?
Yeah, Manly or Newport or Brookvale. You know, deep in the heart of the GWS.
Yeah. I mean, no one's going to be shocked that the Giants. One of the problems, like we've said before about awesome wins, is all you just do is you just smile at each other and pat each other on the back and go, wasn't that great? Aren't we amazing? Yeah, blah, blah.
Can we keep doing it?
Terrible. They were ninth, we were 10th, and to have that happen to them.
Shout out to the banner committee. I think we got a little inside their head before we actually started playing. Bit of mind games.
A bit of a dig.
Has anyone got the spiel from what the banner said? Insert.
It was a rhyming couplet.
Something about having finals.
Yeah, the Bombers haven't played finals since we've been in existence.
Haven't won a final since we've been in existence.
A beautiful little drive-by. I enjoy a cheap little drive-by.
Mm.
So brutal AFL banner is all-time savagery. That's on news.com.
I mean, if you're head of the banner committee, that's
it's
what
you're
hoping
for. It's been a long time.
For.
The Bombers have waited. Last time they won a final, we weren't even created. That's
beautiful.
Just kick them in the face.
I mean, everyone was gelling on Saturday afternoon, from the banner committee to the players to the coaches.
Apparently, there's even a Twitter account, which tallies the days, 6,892 since the Bombers have won one.
Imagine putting all the banners, because they're all rhyming, into one song. That's a thought.
You would think it could be done. Next project. It's good. It's a long off season.
All right. Upcoming game.
Third quarter. That was delightful. Yeah.
Well, and also, yeah, then what happened on Sunday afternoon after the Wildcats won their grand final, the Weagles did us a massive solid and put the Bulldogs to the sword. We hate the Bulldogs, and they suck because they just lost. So did we, but they lost at home in a game they had to win. Extraordinary. But now now it is in our hands. We have to beat Carlton in Melbourne for the opportunity of beating Carlton in Melbourne the next week. I think that's what it is. Yeah. If we beat Carlton in Melbourne, we win the opportunity to play Carlton in Melbourne.
I think you were speaking about it a few weeks ago, that you can do the ladder prediction, whatever. But basically, I like the maths for us. I like the equation. We just need to win, and we keep going.
You would have had us top, wouldn't you, Sparrow? You would have had us top
in the ladder predictor. Well, funnily enough, when I looked at the games, I did not predict that result yesterday. I thought out of all the blood, you know how you can pick your margin. I usually don't even bother with that, but that was the one where I gave the Bulldogs a healthy margin, and yeah, that was the only one. That was the only one that didn't come through. So
is that right? I picked 3 from 9, and ESPN said fair tipping. Like ESPN's generally very positive. No, I got a fair. Did you even try? Did you? Yeah, didn't even phone it in. But
yeah, no.
What did we say?
I thought
the Doggies lose to Geelong Saturday night, we're in the finals regardless of the game.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, can I just revert to your bake, Rags? I thought it was going to be to that goal umpire in Adelaide. That was absolutely atrocious. And
we'll save that for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we'll come back to that. We'll circle back. But, so basically if Geelong, what's the result we need? If
the Dogs lose to Geelong, we're in the finals regardless.
No, yeah. That's right, yeah. So that sort of raises an interesting scenario. I mean, you obviously...
Although I think Essendon have to win by a million and they might catch us on percentage.
Hypothetically, but let's just rule that out.
But they play Collingwood.
Yeah. So they've got to put the teams in on, I think it's Friday night, don't they, for a Sunday game? So it's not as though you can... So it's like the scenario could be that Carlton, they're already in, right? And if we were already in, would you just play, you know, you're not, if you got a few injuries, are you resting a few blokes? But I don't think we'd have that luxury because we're going to have to submit our teams.
I think that's all well and good. But now that there's a pre-finals bye, it doesn't matter as much because they don't want 6 or 7 players missing essentially 3 weeks of footy.
Yeah.
Or not playing for 3 weeks and then coming in straight into an elimination final.
Yeah, what'll be interesting is if Carlton can make the four, because I think if a couple of results go their way, they can make fourth or can make...
Yeah, I think they have to win by a million as well to catch up to Melbourne.
I didn't think it was that bad or that significant, but anyway. Because if there's a chance of them getting into the four, they will be primed more so than they already are because they're obviously on a really good hot streak at the moment.
Oh, no, Carlton are on 60. Melbourne are on 60, Carlton are on 54. So they can't get fourth.
Okay. No. Oh, yeah, they needed Melbourne to lose, yeah.
So essentially what you guys were just talking about was the Bulldogs versus Geelong game. So it's actually in Geelong and the Bulldogs haven't won there for 20 years. But Geelong are sending half their team in for early surgery. And so this is going to be the Dogs' best chance, and they're going to obviously be desperate. I think Liberatore is still out, isn't he? He got concussed early in the game last week.
Yeah, I thought it was only missing this one, the last week.
But, okay.
He should be back.
Yeah, So essentially, it's in our hands. We have to beat Carlton. We're playing at Marvel Stadium. They're a pretty strong team there. They've won, 9 in a row or something?
Yep.
Sunday night
They only just scraped it against Gold Coast.
Yeah, but I mean, you go away, Rags.
Gold Coast pretty plucky. Last game of the round, so I think the AFL were really hoping that this was going to be a game that everyone needed to watch to really shape the eight, but essentially, it could be all over by the time it gets around to us. Essentially, we just need to win. We just need to keep winning.
Yeah, we need to win. And they'll want to keep winning too, taking their momentum into the finals. They're getting back, I think, Walsh, I think, Chera, Doherty. I don't know if he played last week. Silvani. And obviously, Curnow is just, he was huge on the weekend. He basically won the game for them, turned that disastrous first quarter around. And Wiedering's playing really well at the moment. He'll be up against probably Hoags. So Hoags won't be kicking nine this week. We'll need other Finns to step up.
No, Cripps, 10.
10. Could be 10. Cripps apparently was quiet last week, but he's obviously an absolute bull in the shape of the sanitizer. So that'll be an awesome battle in the middle. And they've got heaps of depth in their midfield. If they get the likes of Chera and Walsh back, they've got a good midfield. Strong down back, strong up forward. What's his name? Mackay, he's back as well. I think he played last week.
And that's the interesting bit. So the comments have been going, Mackay hasn't been playing for much of Carlton's run, right? You lead the line with Curnow, and you just, because that guy is a supreme footballer, athlete, demigod, Mrs. Needles does not mind Charlie Curnow. Bit of a pinhead, but curly locks and nice arms. Sam Taylor on Charlie Curnow, I've got no problems with that. I think Sam Taylor, at least even Stevens, that he's a superstar, as is Curnow, good. But if Mackay plays, Jack Buckley is a great fullback, but he's not 6'7". And Connor Iden is also not 6'7". And I don't, when I keep watching Lachie Keefe, and I don't put Lachie Keefe on him.
What do you think?
Mackay? I think Buckley would take him, but Needles, Sparrow was just talking about all their ins, so they got possibly Walsh, Chera, Doherty, Silvani. Okay, but then you take out their role players. So if you've watched Carlton over the last 2 months where they've gotten this real streak, they've relied on all these role players to really apply all the pressure. Now, you're not going to get that same buy-in from a Walsh, Chera, Doherty because they all want the ball. They're not wanting to tackle. They're not wanting to put pressure on. And so I think it's almost a negative for them if they bring in all these players back in and their role players, like our Daniel Lloyds of the world, start missing out because they lose a bit of structure. And I think Carlton don't look as good with Mackay and the team. Like they're slower in the forward lines, and that's where we're starting to win a lot of the ball is from our back lines. We win the ball in the back lines, and then we run it out. And
Whitfield just cruising
Ash.
Yeah. Oh, and Ash, yeah, Whitfield and Ash coming off the back, and Connor as well. It's unreal.
Yeah, no, it's just really nice matchups. Yeah. You got a good point there, Rags. Like, do you mess with the winning formula, which is, yeah, like you said, the not so huge names doing their job and all buying into Vossi's.
Yeah, there are some awesome matchups in this game. Like you said, Sammy Taylor on Charlie Curnow. And then you've got Tom Green and Patrick Cripps. They're almost exactly the same player, except Tom Green can kick.
And Patrick Cripps has got a Brownlow. Other than that,
but
isn't far away.
And who was it? Nick Newman who played on Toby Green last time and kept him really quiet.
Could have been.
And they were talking about that. The Giants were. Toby's been a bit sore the last few weeks, so they put him as a sub, subbed him out of the game last game just to give him that extra half a game rest. So it's going to be a really good game to watch. I'll probably head to that same sports bar again and have to sit and watch it on my KO, but
yell into the storm impotently.
Yeah,
we should do
Marvel.
We should do a Sunday. How do we go,
Marvel? I've seen us lose to Carlton at Marvel when Carlton were tripe.
I think better than the MCG. Question, is X due to return this week?
Ooh. X or Callahan?
Well, Callahan certainly must be close, but X's hand I thought would be getting close as well. Which would be exciting.
They're good ins.
Good ins.
But I mean, who are you dropping? Well, after 126 point win.
Fahey was good.
Fahey
was good, but lacked a little bit of polish. But I really liked what he's bringing to the side, and I think just would have been his done a lot for his confidence that last game. But obviously, I think he'd be a straight out for the likes of X or Finn.
You can't drop the muffin man, can you?
I think you are.
Despite the work he put into that hair,
I think you can. But did you
Don't you dare say we're going to drop Daniel Lloyd. So Lloyd's on 97 games. So this, if he plays this week, it's 98 games. We need to play two finals to get him to a ton. So
not too much to ask for Lloydie.
No,
that can be the theme of the video for Lloydie. So predictions, gents.
Well, Needles doesn't give predictions, so I guess I'll go. I'm going to say
fuck you, two, and the horse you're riding on.
I'm going to say Giants win by 8 points. What else can I say? I'm thinking Sammy Taylor keeps Kerno to two goals or less.
That's not bad.
I'm going to politely ask Ragnar to take that Viking battle axe he's got beside him on the couch and shove it up his Viking button sideways and then just make a prediction.
Are you going to give us a prediction?
Carlton on form at Marvel. I think that's probably fair enough. I think they've got enough going for them. They would go in as favourites. And I don't think that's unreasonable. I reckon we should be able to give ourselves a chance, but on current form, they are, well, what is it? They're the form team in the comp, and they're playing at home, and they've got some good ins. I think that's a decent case for them to win.
Carlton are $1.47, Giants $2.69.
Any bucks on that, Needles?
Well, yeah, it's an emotional hedge because if I tip right, then I've tipped right and Ragnar can suck it. And if I'm wrong, then I'm okay. Happy. So it's Ragnar, so it's all good.
So we've got a standard emotional hedge. I will take the tact of if we do have to win, like if we get to the game and Bulldogs have won and they're equal on us but ahead on percentage, we will win because we have more to play for. Carlton are already in the finals and we... When the back's against the wall, we are dangerous. So I do think we will win if we need to. If we don't need to...
6 on a Sunday evening.
If we don't need to win, i.e. we're already guaranteed a spot, then I think it's more likely that we won't win, if that makes sense.
All right, here's one for you as well. So if we win and Sydney lose to Melbourne, we actually go above Sydney, so we finish 7th.
And get to play St Kilda. No.
And we play St Kilda.
What happens if St Kilda get beat, bashed up by... Here's the permutations. What if St Kilda lose to Brisbane and Sydney win? And we win.
We're 3% behind St Kilda. Sydney have had a draw, so they're half a game in between us. So we're 48, Sydney are 50, St Kilda are 52. So we need to make up 3%. So either St Kilda need to get belted by Brisbane and we have a decent enough win against Carlton.
You know what the ideal scenario is? The ideal scenario is somehow it's us v. the Swans in the first final because we know who wins those battles.
Exactly, exactly.
So whatever the results are, please, 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 footy gods, let us play the Swans at the SCG because we'll be.
I reckon I can beat Carlton and then go back and do them again.
Yeah, well, that's probably what's going to happen.
You know, it's a known entity. Get the W and then go, righto, this is what it takes, boys. Let's just do it another plus 10% and take it to the cleaners.
Yeah, at Marvel, then the G.
Yeah. We'll have to go to whoever. Well, they'd have to get into the predictors. We're going to be doing a lot of travelling. There's not going to be any finals at the Beanstalk.
That's perfect.
But we're a good away team.
Get the road train.
I vote we play our elimination final against Sydney Swans. But Sydney need to play Franklin and we need to play Davis. That's the only caveat.
That would be so good. That's the dream scenario. They're both banged up. Good. Haven't run for 3 weeks. Wheel them out in the wheelchairs.
Yeah. Yeah, neither of them have a hamstring between them.
So that's third quarter, boys. Let's roll into the fourth.
That's interesting. It's a heavy walk into Monday. I just have to say that game turns off at 9:30, whatever, if it's close or if it's this or if we lose. Like, it's not too long till you've got to go to work the next day. I mean, I'll tell you what, the ACT Masters refrain when everyone's launching into each other is, we've all got to fucking work on Monday, boys. Like, gentle. No one does. But, that's a heavy Sunday.
Heavy Sunday. I almost brought up, should we do a recording afterwards? But that's a big night, isn't it? That's a big night.
Oh, look, you know.
Twitter Spaces.
Huevos. Twitter Spaces. Apparently, yeah. Hey, guys.
That's a thing. Don't know what it is, but that's a thing.
No. I think it's part of Ragnar's desperate need to sort of talk to the fans. I don't want to hear the fans. I want them to hear me. Like, I've got no interest in what the fans say.
Yeah, you don't like the sound of your own.
For our opinions, distilled as we like it. And the feedback.
It took so much pleading for me to get on this pod. Needles wasn't having a bar of me.
I was the only one who read out your emails.
You've paid your dues well and truly, Rags, yeah, with your contributions, your musical talents.
Yeah, no, I love Twitter Insta Spaces. I can't wait for that engagement piece that we do.
Anyway, fourth quarter plan at all costs.
What do you got?
So, yeah, West Coast beat the Dogs in Melbourne, as we all know, which means they've jumped off the bottom of the ladder. Mm-hmm. And so it's looking likely that Reed is going to head to North Melbourne.
Bye-bye, Reed.
And
so what does this mean in the deepest, darkest layers of Reddit?
Well, if Ben McKay leaves North Melbourne, for the top compensation, they will also get pick number two. So North might end up with pick one and pick two.
Which they'll fuck up, no doubt.
Well, I don't know what North are going to do because they've got Larky in the forward lines. He's their only forward.
He's a 60 goals a year man for a shit ass team. Like, he must be a weapon.
Yeah, but they've only got one player. And then down back, they are horrible. Aiden Corr is there, apart from Ben McKay, if he leaves. Aiden Corr is their main backman, who we let go for. I think he's on like $600,000 a year. He probably should be on 60. And
the prison warden from Civil Water.
And so they're going to draft another midfielder, and that's all they've been doing the last 3 or 4 years. Anyway, so. That's just one thing I think might happen is Reed goes to North and he gets to stay in Melbourne. And then the next issue is the goal umpire costing the Crows a goal and their season. I'm surprised all the Grandma Crows supporters weren't throwing their glasses of Chardonnay over the fence at the poor young man.
Mate, ballsy call.
I absolutely respected. He's like, I thought it was a point. I called it a point because that's what I saw. That's the decision I made. Absolutely rate that. The wish was that he was right because that would have been, you know, the justification. But he just went, nah, this is what it was. It's a point. I don't even need to call it. The problem that was
admirable, but it was clearly wrong. And I mean,
but does that mean though that anytime a ball goes near a post, you could slap if you're a footy player, you could just slap it?
You can't intentionally disrupt the posts.
No, but if you are, say, jumping up and jumping up, you hit the post, because that's just balance. Because how do you know if you're putting the ball out of bounds on the fall, except or out of bounds on purpose, except you are, if you can guide it?
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, I mean,
that's a tough one.
Doesn't have a lot of AFL nines, so I can't really comment.
It's a hard one for the Crows. Like, could you imagine that happening to us?
Mm.
That is just heartbreaking. And the worst thing was, like, there was still 80 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And the guy who kicked the goal, Ben Keys, and two other players were over by the fence celebrating. And then the Swans got to clear the ball because they had more players on the field.
Yeah.
And got the ball back up the other end. It was just
a complete disaster for them.
Oh, wow. It's unbelievable. And the other thing I've brought up here is with Phil Davis retiring, who's going to get the number one jumper?
That's a really good question. Ooh. I'd have to be Bredsy.
Said with such there's no other option.
I'm channeling that goal umpire. I'm right. I'm wrong, but I'm right.
Bredsy. Would have been Reedy.
Had players. We
would have been Reedy.
I'm looking at players who have high numbers, so players that might want to change.
Callum Brown's 46.
Callum Brown is 46. Whether we go down, what about Jack Buckley, 44?
Is that another 45?
Another key defender. Yeah, Wade Dirksen, your boy.
45 is my favorite number. I play in 45. Well, there you go. You can't fight fate. That's what that shows. It was written.
Do you reckon Phil Davis will get to choose who has the number one jumper, or do you think it will go to? It obviously won't be Toby Green. He'll keep his number four.
What's have you already read out Octopus? What's his number?
Sammy Taylor. He's
15.
Yeah, 15. He's already got a fairly good number.
Mm. What defines a good number, by the way?
Well, usually anything under 36.
One that's lucky sort of, and that you like.
23 is always going to be good because of Warnie and Michael Jordan. Yes.
And Jesse Jordan. Hogan.
Yeah, although, mind you, there is now the slim possibility that all these kids born not in the 90s might not be having the callback to the Jordans. Jordan might have less of the bit.
Jordan and Warnie and but Buddy was 23, wasn't he?
Yeah, because of Jordan and Warnie, because he was born in the 90s and is now retired.
Pretty sure there's another
23. So I don't know who will get the nod for the number one jumper. Some clubs give it to their captain, but that won't happen to us. So whether it's a draftee, but that's a pretty high number to go to a draftee first year in.
Not when it's
ready. He's going to be an All-Australian ruckman, or here is Davitt.
He's 32. That's 32 is a pretty good number.
Bredsy doesn't need the accolades.
I'll just refer you to Sparrow's earlier question. What defines a good number? Any number below 33.
Well, Bredsy's got
just a number.
Bredsy's got too much real estate on his back to have just the number one. He needs to have like.
Imagine it though. It'd be looked dwarfed like by those massive blades.
Needs to be like 88 or something like that.
Mm.
Oh, so one can only go to your skinny dude. It's going to be Whitfield.
I told you earlier, the wizard. The wizard comes in, he gets number one.
Oh, here we go. Nick Watson. That's how we keep him. You can't leave if you're given the number one jersey.
Definitely not. Or maybe it's maybe it's Macca McCormack. Mullet McCormack.
on a rookie contract.
On a rookie contract from the academy.
Maybe it will be Lekalia.
Well, he's got a number that he likes. I've listened to his interview with our Emma. Is it Emma?
Emma Quayle.
Maybe that's Emma Quayle. Who knows? We could. Possibly if only we could ask him ourselves.
I'll see you in 24 hours.
Who's this Lekalia fella?
He is. He's quite good at football, but he's got a sore toe.
Yeah, he's
looking forward to the chat.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Going to get the big fella on for a chat. All 195 centimetres of him. And, stay tuned, Squinters, because we've got a very special guest coming on tomorrow night. Who knows when the pod will drop? Probably maybe Wednesday, Thursday.
Give or take. I have some excellent and incisive questions ready to go for Mr. Alir, like, what is the footy scene like in South Sudan? And that sort of stuff. I think that's what I'm going to lead with and just see where the conversation takes us.
Yeah, nice. Maybe if any of our listeners have any questions they'd like to ask Lekalier, they could late. Flick it into where? Into where,
Sparrow? That's exactly right. So this is actually the bit we've been talking about. Ragnar has got in touch with the Giants HQ and we've managed to jag a conversation with Lekalier, who is going to be awesome, played really awesome last year and has been injured for most of this year, but he'll be cherry ripe next year. But we are talking to him tomorrow, Tuesday. So you have one day, as long as one of us gets our shit together and drops this pod tomorrow morning, for you to listen to it and get to the end of this hour of marathon of mutual backslapping, to come to this point and go, oh, they're talking to Lekalier. When are they talking to Lekalier? Oh, 4 hours' time. Right. Get onto Twitter or your Sockums or your X or Insta or whatever and get your questions in. And we'll read out the best questions, which could be all of them.
Which will be none, because the pod won't drop by the time we record the interview.
I've got some good questions for the big fella.
I mean, the more we talk, the less likely it is to drop. So maybe we can call it and go, well done, fellas. Good one. That was another excellent session. I'm going to say never surrender.
Never surrender.
Never surrender.
Never surrender.
Sunshine, lollipops and rainbows, everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together brighter.
That was a roof standoff, mate.
That was a great pause. Well done, fellas. Excellent. Everyone loves dead air.
You're always second, Sparrow.
just staring down.
Sorry, mate. Needles, have you got this one?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Awesome.